Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yeah, good afternoon. Sorry, correction. I said with respect to the earthquake, I said 30,000. The gentleman reminded me that it was 300,000. 300,000 killed in the earthquake.
Oh.
Apologies. Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
Yes, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, ma'am.
I have two things to say to you, and I mean two things. Mm-hmm. I am very happy to see that the people in St. John are going to get the help they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy to see they are standing out now and explaining what is going on wrong in St. John so they can get that help.
Okay, agree.
Right? The second thing here, I am asking a question for a pensioner,
mm-hmm.
a contributory pensioner. He wants to know how come that the non-contributory pensioners get 280 raise and the contributory pension get 180. He wants to know how unfair that could be. Because they said the contributory pension get $45 a week more, while the non-contributory pension get 70 more. So if you can find out any information about that for me, so I can pass it on to him.
No, but you ever heard the phrase from each according to his ability and each according to his need and to each according to his or her own need?
That is what it is.
No, but that's a simple principle. That is the socialist creed. So it says that if I have more, I can give more. And if you have more, if you need more, you should get more.
But how can a contributory pensioner only get a $45 a week raise?
Because the contributory pensions get more. From each according to his or own ability and to each according to his or own need, her own need.
That is not fair to the people that work.
But, Mama, it's not fair.
The contributory pensioners that some don't work and them paying
Mom,
them
come off
pension,
it. Come off it.
And so on.
Come
Mom,
off it.
Wickham, that is not fair.
Mom, if I am working, hold on a second. Just stop. Mom, just stop 1 minute.
Uh-huh.
Follow me in this argument. Uh-huh. If I am working for $100 a week,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say if you are working for $100 a week
mm-hmm.
and I am working for $500 a week,
mm-hmm.
who do you think is in greater need?
Ma'am, answer the question.
If you are working for $100 and I'm working for $500, whose need is greater?
I understand what you are saying.
All right, and that's the problem. The problem, ma'am, is that the non-contributory pensions were too low, and the Prime Minister was of the opinion that it was not providing those individuals with enough money for them to live on.
Mm-hmm.
They had to bring those up to a living wage, while the contributory pensions were relatively higher. They were not great, but they were higher.
Well, they're getting now 900, the non-contributory getting 900 a month, while the contributory getting 940. And I would like the Prime Minister to implement a law that who working for themselves should pay national insurance and stop robbing the government.
Ma'am, people who work for themselves pay national insurance. That is the rule they're supposed to pay.
Not all.
They are supposed to pay.
They're supposed to, but they don't.
Ma'am, so how are you proposing to get them to pay?
Send our officer to all those different people that has things working at the houses, putting a sauce and sweet bread, and they can pay attention out to that non-contributory pensioners can pay. Mm-hmm. I mean, national insurance.
You know, ma'am, there's an aspect of us as Barbadians that I worry about, you know. I think that there has to be a social side to all of us that says that no individual should be forced to live on less than $200 a week. And my point is that when someone gets to the stage of retirement, regardless of what are the conditions that brought them to that stage, and that person has to live on $200 a week, it's unconscionable. Ma'am, it's unconscionable. And not only is it unconscionable, but it's not practical.
Mm-hmm.
Not where you go and buy. How much a bottle of gas costs?
I think it's $38 a week. Something so.
Right, and the point is that when you're paying that for that, when you're paying rent, when you're paying water bill, when you're paying light bill, and you only getting $200, where are you supposed to go? And the point is that I appreciate that there could be a greater level of equilibrium in terms of the increases, but in the final analysis, it was one people that had greater need. Somebody has joined us on the program. Good morning, caller number two. Welcome.
Yes.
You wanted to make a point to this lady or to me?
Hello.
You wanted to make a point? We have two callers on the line now. Go ahead, caller number two.
The lady, right?
Yes, ma'am.
She's still on?
She's still on,
yeah. I think we should be taught sociology in schools to show how each person, how it comes down the line for us to help each other. The pension that was being given in the first place for the non-contributory, I just said it was very, very low. So I see absolutely nothing wrong with these person, because things are so hard and so tough now that these person need this extra money. They need it. What is wrong with some of us? I hear a lady calling the other day complaining that the welfare gives women money for their children, women that don't work and all kind of thing. Do these people realize that those children grow up and come and contribute to the country, even if their mother have never worked, they contribute to this country? And therefore, persons who have not worked, their children, my mother has 6 children, and all of us work hard and we contribute to the country, and my mom got some pension. You understand? So why do we rant and rave when somebody's getting help?
I am not saying that they shouldn't get the help they need. I am saying that they have some people that they sell things and they can contribute to national insurance, and they're not, but now they're getting non-contributory pension. That is the people I'm targeting. I'm not talking about people that are really in need.
But, ma'am, what the lady is trying to say to you, let's forget those factors, the factors that cause an individual to be in the situation they are. When you are in a situation where you have to apply for a non-contributory pension, and that is all you have to live on, the point that she is making is that there has to be a social conscience that tells us that it is unfair to say to somebody, you know what, you got to live for the rest of your life on $150
a week. Peter.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me say this part too. People say that this body have not contributed, next body have not contributed, next body have not paid NIS and taxes. Do they know that every time, especially say, we have the VAT. Every time you buy something, you are paying taxes.
There you go.
Every time you go to the doctor pays taxes on your behalf.
Not only that, when you pay electricity bill, you pay a tax. When you pay not a water bill, but when you pay a cell phone bill, you pay a tax.
I went to the supermarket the other day and I spent $60-something. You know how much I pay in VAT?
Yeah.
$23. Mm-hmm. Huh? $23 in VAT. When I look at the bill, I said, yeah, this is real money coming out for $60. You understand? So let us not look at what persons have not done, especially if they have children and so on, or they have relatives. Those monies that are taken from the salaries of others is there to help us. Otherwise, God help us. Our country will go right down if we don't understand that people will not always be up there and be thinking along certain lines. Right? And that is why the Lord said, remember the poor. Thank you.
Okay, ma'am. And I want to thank you for supporting me in that argument. And, caller number one, I do hope that we have...
I am, Mr. Wickham. Yes. I am not saying that I am not in sympathy with people that are in need. I am speaking about people that work and refuse to pay national insurance. Right.
Very quickly, ma'am. Very quickly, when I went to school at Goodland, they had some ladies that used to sell sweeties and things around the school in trays, right? And a lot of those were good women. They raised children and things out of those trays. I don't think any of them ever pay national insurance. You would want to prevent them from also getting a pension on that basis?
I am not saying that. But they have
How do you decide who you discriminate against? Because they're selling things?
You know the people that are doing big catering? And I'm paying in national insurance, nor taxes or anything, so.
Yeah, but ma'am, I'm saying that those people, the ones that sell fish in the market for many years, a lot of those people that earn good money, but they never pay national insurance.
Yeah, I know.
You just have to be careful. Ma'am, there's nothing wrong in principle with what you're saying, because we all have to contribute. But the fact of the matter is that there are some of us who end up in a situation where you are in need. And let's just remember, in the final analysis, what's important is that there are brothers and sisters and they should not have to be forced to live.
It is true. Well, I'll try to explain it to you, gentlemen.
All right. Please do, ma'am. And thanks a lot for calling. We have another break now. We go to the latest news with Mr. Sabab. And we're back with you in about 10 minutes. And then we'll bring the program to a close at once. So do stay with us. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Let me just read a couple of notes and then we get back to the calls. We are on 43 minutes past the hour of 12 and we have about 50 minutes remaining on the program. Peter, your terror this morning has inspired me to send a message via your program to all of the so-called Christians. The term born-again Christians is a non-sequitur and is therefore a nonsensical label. However, the term born-again atheist is an accurate and correct label as you can get. It's as accurate and correct label as you can get. This is because we're all born atheists until we're told lies and threatened with eternal torture from a young age. Remember, Peter, atheism is synonymous with not settling for anything short of evidence-based truth, while Christianity, on the other hand, sacrifices gullibility and credulity. Your friendly neighborhood atheist. So thank you, sir, for your wise words of wisdom. Peter, it's strange that was a question that was asked by someone who asked if the boys in the cave were Christians. What is the point of that question? God is not a Christian. He's not sectarian or denominational. He's multidimensional and omnipresent. One of the problems with institutional religion, like institutional party politics, is that the practitioners seem to believe that they are the chosen, the favored, and the only authentic. And this is from my good friend Patrick. And I want to thank you, sir, for your interactions. And I have a couple of other messages I wanted to read. One of them attacks me fairly viciously. He says, Peter, I quite clearly heard you say that you refuse to read the above on my criticisms of marijuana. And it is entirely well, I think, you will go that route, because I personally think that you're an advocate for all immorality and all ungodly acts and disgusting and ridiculous motives in this country. I also think that you are a bad example by condoning antisocial behavior island-wide. All I can say, sir, is I do hope you have a good crop over and you enjoy yourself to the fullest. And just be careful that you don't walk up on a body that don't want them to walk up on you. Peter, in another administration, a former prime minister brought in his he was simply helping out a friend. Nothing was said further at that time. The matter died. The pensioner died some years later. Peter, I worked to contribute because I was getting minimum wages. I only got a contributory pension of $91 a week. Can you imagine living off that and having to pay a light and water bill and buy groceries? I'm very thankful for the little raise some people get some people getting a big pension, and they're complaining that little raise we received is not good. And I want to thank you, Mia, for the little raise. I should say, sir, that should be Auntie Mia to you, not Mia. Peter, the saying goes, there are two great tragedies in life. One is not getting what we want, and the other is getting it. I believe caller number one in the previous conversation places herself in that bracket with the argument. It was compounded when you showed her your point from the angle of the fish vendors and the older generation who were involved in various cottage industries. And I thank you for helping to reinforce that, sir. I do feel that those women demonstrated how one can build a decent life for oneself, but also the way that one can find oneself pensionless by the time you get to a particular age. So that's it for me on WhatsApp for now. Let's take a call or two, and let's see how many we can get in before we leave at one. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Okay, let's try again. We have quite a few calls here, so we should be able to get one of them to speak to us. Good afternoon. Welcome. You're on the air. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to come in on, if you hear an echo, like I'm on my cell phone, I'm driving.
Okay.
You got your hands free. Bluetooth.
Your hands free working.
Yeah. I want to come in on that pension. Now, remember, I had spoken to you right after the mini budget on this matter. I'm the person that talked to you about not paying if I don't pay the extra money on the water bill.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am again, back with the pension. I want to agree with that lady. I don't think the lady was trying to say that the non-contributory pension is too much. I never say that you are getting too much money. I always say I'm not getting enough. That is always my argument. No. Funny enough that she mentioned that the contributory pensioners got a raise, and it prompted me to feel into my pocket and take out my check. And I seen a raise by my, and I'm a contributory pensioner. So I want to know, where did she get this thing that the contributory people got a raise? If they did, I did not get any, and I got a check here that was due on the 9th. And I just open it to see that I ain't got no raise. So please, whoever is out there responsible, send me my $45 because I want it.
How much your Bluetooth that you using cost?
It came with the vehicle.
Okay, the vehicle. Because, this is a brand new vehicle.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, right?
It's a brand new vehicle.
I worked 37 years for them.
By the problem. I just asked a simple question. I ain't grudging you.
But you're being very mischievous.
Mischievous? Sir, if you could drive a new vehicle with Bluetooth, I congratulate you. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm happy for
you. People are buying little sets and putting in the vehicle.
But right, but there ain't a problem.
I want my
You worked 37 years. You should be able to drive a new vehicle. What brand is it?
Don't bother about that, Mr. Victor. I told you, I know you eat or drink this morning before you left home, but you're very, very mischievous today, man.
It's vegetables.
I want my money because
somebody is here saying to me that their mother got her raise on her contributory pension. So I think that maybe, I don't know, maybe yours is too high.
No, that ain't true. Okay. That's true. Mine ain't too high.
Maybe it's too low. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but people are telling me online that they got increases. I am not yet pensionable. I'm a BART member, but I am not yet pensionable. So I don't know, you know.
But I am getting the same thing today that I got January, February, March, April, all down to the year so far. So please, pass a word, since you have that influence. You can be mischievous with whoever is responsible and get my $45 to me.
I can give Auntie Mia a call when we come off the program and beg she let me
hit you with this one with the water again.
What's
this? You ready for it?
What's this?
Since I am in an area that does not have the sewage system, I reckon that I should be able to call the water authority when my septic tank is due for cleaning. I have it done freely because I'm benefiting from it nationally, but domestically I am not benefiting from it.
Okay.
So with all of the raises that you put on me, you know, I reckon that I should be getting my septic tank cleaned for free, but not for free, through the system.
We can talk to Uncle Jose.
Well, yeah, talk to all you talk, uncles.
Auntie Mia, Uncle Jose. We can start you
up. Yeah, talk to all of them for me, please. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. Good chatting with you. And enjoy your crop over. Have a good one. I don't know. Peter, you clearly... None of these people don't leave me. Peter, you stated that you don't believe or have any use for God, yet you continue to be the devil's advocate. Interesting indeed. I smile. And I smile too, sir. I smile a lot. I think that all of us need to smile more. It would make the world a happier place. Somebody's just explaining to me that apparently persons in the lower brackets got an increase. And if he didn't get an increase, it is probably because he's in a higher bracket. And the fact is that if he worked for 37 years at a reasonable salary and he drives a brand new car with Bluetooth, he probably is in a bracket. So, sir, the problem is you work for too much money or you contribute too much. So it's the ones that really needed it that got it. But you unfortunately, sir, you would have been apparently excluded because you work for too much money. Well, we can work on the other two matters for you, though. We can work on the other two matters. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Vic. How are you?
I'm good, sir. And yourself?
Not too bad. I will respond to one of your WhatsApper.
Mm-hmm.
There was some Ethiopian history which was resurrected on.
Do you know I haven't spoken to you in years?
That's not to be spoken to me. Not long ago, last month.
I know there was a long time that you were talking to Maureen and not me only. Do I become a Maureen now, though?
I have no idea. You sure you got the right person?
Yes, I got the right person.
Anyway, or you mean when you might say me speaking to Mr. Lovell when Dr. Spang was there when they proved that Islam is scientifically correct on law subject. Anyway, there was some, like I said, there was some Ethiopian history which was resurrected on Easter Day, which was April 1st this year. It says that in the beginning of Islam, the Muslims were being persecuted, and they were protected under the auspices of the Ethiopian king, so it could be sent to the rest of the world. This is consistent also with UNESCO's Receiver General History of Africa, and also with Ivo Van Sermon. It was the Greeks who concocted Christianity in order to rule the known world at that point in time. The Byzantine Empire, which was destroyed in what is now Istanbul, Turkey, in 1453 by the Muslims. The Muslims had to kick them out of Africa. They were trying to control the Middle East and Africa. And that is even in the same UNESCO history series, also in the Britannic Society of Gentlemen in Scotland, and all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sir, thank you for calling and for your profound wisdom on this matter. 54 minutes past the hour of 12. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, my concern is that the banks and the credit unions are charging too much interest on loans, right? And the returns that you're getting is not enough. 1.25 is not enough to pay for there to gain so much on your money, or the 1.5 not that they're giving you.
You belong to a credit union?
Of course.
Why you don't bank with them exclusively?
Pardon?
Why don't you bank with them exclusively?
I bank with the credit union.
Okay.
Right?
So then you don't have a relationship with the bank?
Yes, I do. Yeah, but I do not. I don't see no advantage because.
But why don't you terminate it?
Well, of course I'm working on it, but I can't do it right now because of certain policies at work. Right?
No, because you can change and you can have your thing deposited to your credit union. Your credit union has an ATM?
Yeah.
There you go. Mine doesn't, but I mean, if yours does, then by all means, you can go.
Yeah, but I believe that
so
if you need...
Is your company's policy that they will not pay to credit union?
Yeah, they do pay to the credit union, but you've got to put a certain amount at the bank as well.
They can force you to do that?
But they say, they tell you that you should put a certain amount of money
you
at
know
the
about
bank.
This, Dennis?
I have heard people say that, but I can't... I don't see how an employer could tell you where to put your money. Somebody said to me that their company only pays them through the bank. And I tell them I can't see how that makes sense. But I've seen someone make a comment about it. But
my understanding is
I can't see how it makes sense.
If you wanted your money in cash, your employer would have to give you in cash.
Mm-hmm.
So if they decide to put it in a credit union or a bank, it shouldn't make any difference to them because you're entitled to your money in whatsoever you format you want.
Mm.
There was a time that companies used to agree to split and distribute so that some people could run savings programs, which is different,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe that's the situation. But if you say that you want to have all of your money deposited in credit union, I can't see how your company could tell you no. And certainly, if they don't, I think that's a matter for the Fair Trading Commission.
I also believe that if the bank is not paying enough money and the credit union is not paying enough money, because 1.25 the credit union is paid too as well, mm-hmm. right? You only get the bigger amount on the little shares that you have. It's not much when you work. It was only about $6 and change, mm-hmm. right? So it don't make no sense. So you could as well go and buy some short term government securities, whether it's treasury bills or you can go and get bonds,
spending
right?
Money.
Or you can, if you could put it longer, you could buy some debentures, or you could try buy shares in one of the companies if it's available and take your risk, right?
Mom, you sound like a person that's making wise financial decisions. And to me, I agree with all of what you're saying. I agree that banks are poking out people's eyes. I agree that the credit unions can't really do much better because you have an environment of negative interest rates where interest rates are getting lower and lower. You also made important points about alternative ways people can invest in money. They can buy government securities. They can buy shares in companies that are doing well. So all of these options are available. So the question is, why does anyone need to have a relationship with a bank? It boggles the mind. Someone else is saying here that some employers do not lodge monies into credit unions and that is their policies. And
they do lodge money into your credit union as bank lodgement, mm-hmm. right? But the thing about it is they still send some of the money over to the bank, mm-hmm. right? But I don't know. But
someone is asking if you have a loan at the bank. Not trying to get into your business, but do you have a loan at the bank?
I had a loan at the bank.
Right. Well, see, that's the problem. If you have a loan at the bank would have an obligation. Sorry, the company would have an obligation based on the agreement that they would have signed to pay into the bank to cover that. But if that's no longer the case, then certainly there's no basis on which they can force you to do that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And Mom, we're gonna try to get one more call in. You want to say something quickly?
Yeah, I believe that people could look at the outside market and.
Sorry about that, ma'am. All right. Okay, Dennis is saying that we're going to have to run. All right, that's fair enough. Ma'am, thank you for your call. You made some important points, and I certainly do feel that the only way we're going to get away from this bank foolishness is if we start to take action and some people start to move, or enough people start to move their business to credit unions, because it really is becoming more and more unfair as time passes. If it is that companies are not prepared to pay into credit unions, then certainly that's a matter for the Fair Trading Commission. I do not see any basis on which a company can tell you that they will pay you, but they will have to pay you through an established bank. So, then, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a wonderful program, and I had a good run after the hiatus with elections, and I came back and I was chatting with you. So I have another hiatus again for a couple of weeks, and I look forward to continuing the conversations.